The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Good to see you.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts help us to live and love like you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last weekend, before I was leaving for this ski trip with some of our high school students, I started looking through all of my old DVDs to bring a couple for the car ride and for our time in the mountains. And I started to notice a couple things. The first of is that I have not bought a DVD in, I think, 6 years due to Netflix and iTunes and now Disney Plus. I don't know that I'll ever buy a DVD again. So as I was looking through all these DVDs, I was laughing because I could tell what stage of life I was in as I was looking at each movie, and it was bringing back all of these memories. And then I came across an old favorite, Mrs. Doubtfire. Now, as a child, I watched this movie, I think, 300 times in a year with my family. It was a family favorite. My nostalgia was just at a peak, and then all of a sudden, I turned over to the back, and I saw in small little print, 1993. Oh, that's 27 years ago. I think we're going to pass on this movie because I didn't want to embarrass myself that they might not know what this was. But now I am going to embarrass myself. So who remembers the movie? Look, my high schoolers are not raising their hands. Good thing I didn't embarrass myself. So I'll give you a quick recap if you have not seen the movie. A dad played by Robin Williams, named Daniel, has limited access to his children, and so he tries to come up with a creative strategy so that he can see his kids more. When Daniel hears that his ex-wife is going to hire on a nanny, he applies for the job, but not as himself, instead as an elderly woman named Mrs. Doubtfire. He dresses up every single day. Full mask, makeup, wig, bodysuit, the whole nine yards to become someone else. All the while, Mrs. Doubtfire, the character, never forgets that underneath she is these children's father. She knows her identity even when no one else can recognize her. And as the audience, we can see how she is still the dad, even in Mrs. Doubtfire's world. But eventually this is found out through a messy evening trying to be two people at once. The thing is that Mrs. Doubtfire ended up making Daniel a better father, a father that he would have never been if he didn't have this ultra ego persona. So today, we celebrate the baptism of our Lord. Two things that combine, right? No, we'll get there. Interestingly enough, this is one of the first and only times that the Trinity, God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, make an appearance all together. You would think that it would be more throughout Scripture, but it's really only a couple of times. And the one and three Trinity show up today for something incredibly special, to announce the true identity of Jesus Christ. Now hold that thought for just a second too, and we're going to skip 13 chapters ahead in the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 16, over halfway through the Gospel, and Jesus finally asks his disciples to identify him. Now remember, 13 chapters ago, but by that time, Jesus had done a lot of traveling with his disciples, preaching about God's love and grace, the hope of what the kingdom of God would look like here on earth. Jesus' disciples had also witnessed this healing touch to those on the outskirts of society. But the disciples also had their ears to the ground, and they heard rumors. They heard whispers about what Jesus was up to and who he might be. And so in the middle of a casual moment, Jesus asks his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And his disciples are taken back by the question. They aren't really sure, to be quite honest, so they fumble an answer back to Jesus that was like, "Well, maybe John the Baptist reincarnated, or maybe you're Elijah or another of the prophets." And Jesus stops and he looks at his disciples and he says, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter, almost without hesitation, jumps up and responds with all the confidence in the world, "You are the Christ, the living Son of God." Very soon afterwards, we hear the voice of God again on a mountain to Peter, James, and John, claiming Jesus' true identity. So this was where Jesus was made known publicly and plainly, when others began to recognize who Jesus really was. But it's long before that, in chapter 13, that God's voice comes down as the heavens are ripped open. Now, Jesus had known who he was since birth, but in this moment, at the baptism, it is confirmed in an undeniable way. John immersing Jesus in water and the heavens of God opening up, the Spirit descending upon Jesus. Today, God's own voice names, identifies, and claims Jesus, saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." But for 13 chapters from that moment, Jesus walks around with the world not knowing who he truly was, unable to really share such things because no one would listen or understand. And ironically, the only people who recognized who Jesus was in those 13 in-between chapters from the baptism to when Peter confessed, "You are the Christ," were the demon-possessed people. But it seems just like Jesus and Mrs. Doubtfire are not the only ones who have to go through this agony, right? On a completely different level, I do get it. But there's this common theme if we look at the history of literature or of movies or stories of any kinds. A character who knows his or her identity cannot declare it and must walk through the world in plain sight. It's a painful thing, right? Difficult to read and watch. We know Clark Kent is Superman. Yep. Peter Parker is Spider-Man. And Bruce Wayne. Batman. They take a page from Jesus' story right here. So I started to think about this last week. How would it feel to walk around most of your life knowing who you are, the real you, but no one else can see you and really knows you? Now, I think if we're honest with ourselves, we don't actually need to look very far or hard to know this feeling on a personal level, as it's probably been us a time or two. We often long for people to know the real me. And in the world of quick judgments, the filters that take away wrinkles and blemishes, the mask of a perfect life on a Sunday morning or on social media, the 15-year-old who has all the right dance moves and lives in the hype house, the super mom who works 60 hours a week, meal plans, keeps up with the laundry, and has a spotless house, that cool dad who always has the right thing to say, can get along with everyone and never misses a sports game, or the retiree who travels the world and doesn't have a care in the world all the same. The grandparent who is never exhausted when the 5-year-old grandchild stays for the weekend. You get the point, right? We wear a lot of different masks. And in a world that doesn't seem very real, we crave authenticity and vulnerability and love. But most of the time, the only thing that really sees who we are our demons, our doubts, our fears, and our insecurities. But just like every day, today on the baptism of our Lord, we find our hope in Jesus Christ, the one who walks in the baptismal waters this day. And here in this gospel, the good news for us today, January 12th, 2020, is this. First, God knows. God knows who you really are, and Jesus walks with you. When God identified, named, and claimed Jesus in the waters of baptism, giving Jesus this clear sense of mission and vision for the kingdom of God here on earth, God also identifies, names, and claims us in the waters of our baptism, calling us beloved. You are my child, my beloved. With you I am well pleased. And every day since that day, God continues to call you, continues to reach out, continues to try to lead you in the ways of goodness and love and grace. God never, never stops knowing who you are and leading you into who God has called you to be. The world might not get the real you, but God does. God knows that you are the light to this world because God put that light inside of you. And when we follow Jesus, we can bring glimpses of God's kingdom here by being the hands and feet and the face of God in this world, but also letting people be the hands and feet and face of God to us as well. And the second thing, in this story of Jesus' baptism, Jesus sets for us the perfect example of what bringing God's kingdom will look like. And it wasn't with an impressive entrance that had all of the might and power of God. It wasn't in the fancy entrance with gold dripping around Jesus so that we could immediately identify who he was. It was in the way that Jesus stood with sinners that day, people just like us waiting to be baptized. Jesus stood in line to approach John the Baptist, and Jesus stands with us too. Jesus stands with us to teach us servant leadership, to teach us how to live and love, to teach us how to pray to God, to teach us how to have hope even when death is all we see, to teach us to be the light of Christ in this world. It really is amazing, isn't it? The world might not ever see us for our true self, even with all the talk of authenticity and vulnerability, but God does. God sees us. God sees you, and God knows you and loves you all the same. So how will we live out that identity? As a child of God, beloved, let us pray. Gracious God, you gave absolutely everything you had, your very Son, Jesus Christ, to teach us how to love in the midst of darkness. Even when this world doesn't seem real to us, God, you do. You know every hair on our head, so open our ears to listen for your voice and let our feet walk in your way, so that following the example of Jesus, we might stand with our brothers and sisters, sinners alike, and bring about your reign of justice and peace in the world. Amen.